Come on, you haven't remembered from last week, eh? Yesu anakapenda. Jesus loves you. Will you turn to your neighbor, your left and your right, and tell them Jesus loves you? You need to know that. Very, very important. You need to know that Jesus loves you. Before we go into God's word, I'd like to just pray. And I just really believe God's going to minister to us in a wonderful way this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would speak so powerfully to us and open up our hearts and our minds. For we do perish for lack of knowledge because we don't know your ways and how you work in and through us. And Lord, will you teach us today by your Holy Spirit? Will you give us an understanding and a knowledge, Lord, to live life and live life abundantly today? May your word go out with power and bring revelation to each and every one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you hear the prophetic word? Did you hear the prophetic word? God has earmarked this church to be used, not just the leaders, but every single one of us. And there's something going to be happening in the life of this church where God's going to put us under pressure to love people. And I'm really just trusting that this is going to be all of us. And we are preparing for it, but it entails all of us. This is not just the chosen frozen that are going to do the work. It's all of us. All of us are going to be involved in this today. When I was in Rwanda, the Lord just really placed in my heart is that we need to go through Philippians chapter 4. So we're going to be going through Philippians chapter 4. I've named it the journey through Philippians 4. And the first little context that I want to deal with today is called agree with each other in the Lord. What is common to all men? No, Nikki, you got it wrong. Sin. Sin is common to all men, for the wages of sin is death, and all have fallen short of the glory of God. And Arthur sent us a video clip on WhatsApp the other day about a Jewish man living in New York who's come to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And what astounded me wasn't that he confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, it was he astounded and said, I'm not a sinner. He had no conviction in his heart that he was a sinner. And then he had to bring the word of God out, was preached to you, and say that if you look lustfully on a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. And he said, whoa, I've been stuck in pornography. And he realized he was a sinner. But sin is a common thing for every one of us. And, you know, most men in the world are not dealing with that issue. They're dealing with many other things. They're dealing with education. They're dealing with how to build houses and how to grow their businesses. But sin is never dealt with. The world is not aware of it. But Jesus came and dealt with sin, and he provided a way. And that's why we believe upon him, and he forgives our sin. But secondly, and this is the area that I want to just open up today, is the area of conflict. I believe it's common to every one of you, and you will all have to deal with conflict, and most probably you will have to deal with conflict on a daily basis. And we need wisdom when it comes to these things, and it's the wise that know how to deal with conflict. It's the foolish that shout their mouths off, but we need some wisdom. And I'm just trusting as we just examine this portion of Scripture today that God will give us wisdom how to deal with conflict in our lives, with those around us, in our families. Do you know, I want to just say to those wonderful people that are married amongst us, one of the greatest challenges that you have in your marriage is conflict. And you got to deal with it, because iron sharpens iron. And in every area of life, you will find that God will allow conflict to come into your life. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read the first three verses 1 to 3. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Paul loved the Philippians. But here he comes to the church there and he says to these two ladies, I plead with you, Euida, and I plead with Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. Paul here is talking to the church in Philippi. In the New King James Version, verse 2, it says that these two women should be of the same mind in the Lord. And who were these ladies? The Bible doesn't give us clarity, but its tradition says that there were prominent women in the life of the church in Philippi. They presumed to be deaconesses, but the reality, there was a chadunta between the two of them. They were having an argument. There was disagreement, and it wasn't being resolved. They would come to the gathering, and one would sit there, and the other one would sit there. And when they saw one another, they would go the other way. They weren't sorting the issue out. And you know, disagreements and conflict arise even in the church. And that's scary, because we think we come to church, the place where God's people gather, the church, and we think we've got it all together. No, we're not. We're all work in progress. And God is dealing with all of our hearts and raising us up to be more and more like Christ. And I really believe if we want to learn Christ, one of the things we've got to learn how to deal with conflict in our lives. And so often we all poor handlers of conflict. We've all got issues in our lives, and we've all got a past. And as Franco said, we've been dealing with the issues of impact. The things of our past impact the way we actually deal with our things in our presence. You know, I'll use the simple example is that as a youngster, you might have grown up and you've got to deal with the first issue of darkness. How do you deal with darkness? And some kids deal with and put the light on, and the light is on, and then you're fine. And some kids have got to sleep all night with the light on, and they're fine. But others deal with saying, I'm not going to be scared. But you know, that coping mechanism that is birthed in you at a young age comes through right through your life. And even as an adult, you'll find people that are scared of the dark have to put on the light at night to deal with those things. And same thing when it comes to relationships and dealing with one another. We learn bad habits, every single one of us. We're all in this process, and that's why we've got to learn Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes to teach us a new way. And I don't come with profound understanding, but I do come to try and point us towards what the Scripture is telling us. How do we deal with one another? How do we bring the best out of other folk when we're dealing with things? And I want to just say conflict is actually necessary, because we're all under discipline. We're all disciples of the Lord, and we all need to be corrected, and there's a kind way to do it, but sometimes if you don't listen, you've got to be done publicly to deal with these things. You know, fathers and mothers, as we raise children, we cannot be sitting back and be circumspect and think things are going to all work out. There are times when we've got to deal with these issues, and you know, and sometimes we're all in the place we don't like to deal with conflict, and you know what? Coming into this role of leading and being an elder in a church and being a father of the people, sometimes you've got to be in conflict with people. And not that you want to be, but you've got to deal with the issue. Why? Because you've got to bring the best out of it. Because people sometimes walk with blinkers, and I even walk with blinkers, and people need to come and we need to be spoken to. And that's why the Holy Spirit leads us. And sometimes when He leads us, it's not always this gentleness. He's got to come, He's got to be firm with us, and He's got to correct us. And I want to just bring some encouragement here today, and I really want us to grow in this area because the way we deal with this will determine our level of maturity. You know, often we see people that deal with conflict, and how do they deal with it? They start to scream and they shout, and they get to a place where I'm going to get even, and all the foul words come out and say, I'm going to sort you out. That is very immature. That's baby in dealing with that. You watch the kids on the playground and they want to sort something out. They don't talk it out, and it's a smack, you know, and they fight it out. And you know, boys think this is the right way, I'm going to get even. Can I tell that story that you did, Nikki? Can I please? Nikki grew up with two brothers, and Dad taught them, if you want to sort something out, and you give a good smack. So Nikki and them grew up in Zimbabwe. They're tough there, you know. They grew up tough. But there was this girl, I never know what her name was. Sorry, Nikki. And this girl was giving her a hard time, eh? Was giving her a hard time. And on the bus going home, And eventually Nikki said, no, I can't take any more of it. So they got off the bus and said, let's sort this out. And she just went and, wah, and the girl was down. And she never got up quickly after that. But you know the good thing out of that, the mother came back and said, Nikki, you did the best thing for her ever. She's calmed down and sorted her life out. I'm not purporting that is the way to handle disagreements. You're going to land up in this modern world that we live in, you're going to land up in jail. So I've got to be careful at home, eh? Because that fist is a good one. When she's given me a lummy, boy, it's anal. But that's in jest, there's nothing serious. But God's way is reconciliation, and we need to work out reconciliation. The cross is a message of reconciliation. And that, if we've got to understand in our hearts, that's the foundation of working out disagreements. It is always the cross. And we've got to understand that God calls us to love Him and to love others and to love ourselves. And we've got to have that attitude in our hearts to work out love. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, it says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So you see, the Lord wants us to be of the same mind, to be united, to be reconciled. And you know, there are many differences that can come across our path. And I want to just say is that we're not going to agree on everything. Even in this family here, and even amongst the leaders that I lead, and we're not always in a place of agreement, but we can agree to disagree, but to work out unity. I think that's a very important thing, and especially work out relationships. You don't always have to agree exactly what the other person is saying, but you can actually humble yourself and say, okay, I'm not going to make an issue of this thing, to bring unity. And that's what actually happens in a lot of churches. The devil's very clever, where he brings division, he breaks the unity because there's disagreement and people don't work out their disagreements. So I'm not asking you to agree with me, but I'm asking you to agree with the scriptures and to follow the Lord in what He's doing. But we are allowed to disagree on matters. That's mature. That is mature, that you're able to say, well, you got your point of view and that's great, you got a point, but I got my point of view, but we're going to walk together in this process. And that's to find the mind of Christ, and then to find the same mind in this process. We've got to work these things out, and we can't allow disagreements to destroy our unity, because then we lose the blessing. You know, in a family, when you've known, when you've been in disagreement and the things aren't worked out, you are churning inside. There's no peace inside of you. There's not the sense of oneness. You just cannot get on with life. You cannot sleep properly. All of a sudden, this thing is bugging you. And we've got to get to a place where we find agreement. And this is a place of reconciliation. And the world's in trouble today because of all these disagreements that are taking place. We've got to find a common ground. And you know what? We were just talking this morning. There's even politicians that leave big nations that don't work out a unity. They try to bring disagreement. They think it's right, but it's not the wise way. It's not God's way. The Lord doesn't operate that way. So we've got to find, in the Lord, we've got to find reconciliation. We've got to be in one mind. But amazing that the scripture actually says that we've got to be of the same mind in the Lord. So when it comes to these matters that we're dealing with, so often we only look at it from two sides. It's the other party and us. When we are followers of Christ, there are three parties. It's the Lord, the other person, and us. And I'm telling you now, we don't always take the Lord into consideration in those things. And we hear His perspective and what He's telling us to do in that matter. We come with our perspective, they come with their perspective, and we try and find it out. But we're not hearing God. And we've got to hear God in this process, in dealing with this matter. And I just think so often we don't do that, and that's why we make wrong decisions and we get broken relationships. Even in the Bible, we see Paul, who was a man of incredible faith that was used by God, got into an argument with Barnabas about John Mark. And they split ways. Have you read your book of Acts? They split ways. There was a disagreement and they split ways. But go and read Romans again. And Paul says, no, bring John Mark because he's good for my ministry. They restored their relationship and never stayed there. There was a disagreement and they split ways, but they worked it out. because that is the mature way, and we cannot allow these things to get in the way. But I've got some practical points. How do we work things out in a family? You know, God calls us to walk in peace, and we've got to be peacemakers, and that takes maturity, and it takes the leading of the Holy Spirit to work peace. So my first point, practically, conflict will arise. We need to deal with conflict. There are places of misunderstanding. There are places of poor communication. All of us communicate very poorly. We're all learning this, the principle of how to communicate. Sometimes, you know, we don't have eye contact with one another. We communicate, I want to just say, the social media. We start to communicate through the social media, through email, and where sometimes communication needs to be taken face-to-face, and we get misconstrued in a lot of the things that we say, and we don't always catch the heart of those things. You know, especially in marriages, we run busy lives, and then you catch one another in the passageway, and someone says this, and then I say to Nikki, "You're talking to the wall now, because we're running past one another. We're not looking face to face and working these things." And obviously, in that situation, there's going to be a miscommunication. You're not going to understand the heart and the matter and the detail of that. So we need a lot of wisdom to work out communication. You know, the greatest leaders of the world that have profound leadership have been incredible communicators. Not just standing up on the podium and able to present a message and carry heart in that, but dealing on one-on-one, dealing with teams, dealing with people, bringing people through, this ability to bring things through is the power. I remember I had a factory manager. I worked at Consol Glass in the factory in Wadeville, and Tony Raimondi was his name. And he was an incredible communicator because he just wasn't able to embrace people, to hear their points, put it into perspective, and find a solution in that process. Maybe because he was an engineer, he was able to do those things. But he was an incredible leader because he communicated well. And he averted so many situations, especially in the business world, of when conflict can arise. He settled and he brought peace. Yes, he was a Christian, but I'm telling you, it was a skill that he never acquired. He had to learn. And I want to say, to deal with conflict takes communication, and if you've got to grow in that. You know, universities today actually have year courses called communication. That's how important it is, and we realize the lacking. And even in the life of the church, but predominantly of our time, our lives are around communication. It's from the pulpit. It's from the emails. In what are we speaking? It's communication. It's talking God's word, speaking, and we got to get it right. And when things go wrong, we got to know how to deal with us. So I want to say, when these opportunities of conflict do arise, they're opportunities to learn Christ, opportunities to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you how to deal with the matter. So when the issues arise of conflict, they might be issues of behavior, non-performance, doctrine, weaknesses in fellowship, wrong thinking. These are everyday occurrences, and we got to be able to deal with those things. Likely in the home, we've got husbands and wives, mothers and fathers that have got to deal with raising children in the ways of the Lord. And I know we haven't mentioned it now, but we want to do it. Franco was going to use it, but we haven't done children dedications for a long time in the life of the church. We don't do child baptisms because we don't believe that's in Scripture, but we dedicate children. Why? Because we believe it's biblical. But the dedication is not so much about the child. Yes, we pray a blessing upon the child, but it's for the parents to dedicate themselves to raise children up in the ways of the Lord. That's where we pray for God's anointing upon them to be released to do that, because you need wisdom to communicate the life of God with your children. It's not easy. It's not easy. It takes time. We go through personal issues, and we need God's wisdom. So we're going to be doing that in the future, and we're going to be calling upon you. If you've never dedicated your child, we would love to come alongside you and make it a celebration. When it comes to conflict, as I said, there were three sides, but so often there's two sides, and there's always two sides of a story. Many times I sit and people say, this is the issue, but they don't hear the other side. You know, it takes two to tango. There's two sides to every situation that arises. And I think if you're wise, you're going to hear both sides. You can even hear God's side in how to do that. And you know, when conflict is not dealt with properly, the devil really comes in and he brings division and dissension. And you know, so often many people move from church to church because they've never dealt with conflict. Because they never know how to deal with conflict. They never know how to deal with it. Yes, God does move people in different places. But conflict is one of the biggest things that we've dealt with. If I look in my own life and dealing with people in the life of the church, because I haven't been mature enough to deal with issues and got offended and then run away. But you know what? Those things got to be sorted out still. They got to be sorted out because one day God's not going to let you get away with it. He's still going to bring maturity to you to bring those things through. So in the area, my next point is in the area of communication. I've got a whole number of things yet to do. Communication is made up of listening and hearing. So there's hearing what someone speaking, but actually understanding it through the hearing of what is taking place. So when you vocalizing something, there are many things can take place. There's different noises that can come in and can prevent the voice coming through. I was listening to the rugby yesterday because the TV went out. There was a power failure, so we couldn't watch. Skunda. We couldn't watch the rugby. But I was listening on the radio, and there was the commentator, and he was doing this wonderful commentary. The box won, by the way. Hey, the box won. But there above him was the stadium loudspeaker, and it was bringing interference into his commentary, and we couldn't hear what he was saying. And so often in our communication, there's a lot of noises that come in, and you've got to be wise, and you've got to be able to filter what is the true message that is coming through and hear what's coming through, because that's important. When it comes to communication, I want to just encourage you is that be careful not to be opinionated. And we get opinionated by the language we use. And you know, we've been taught, especially in marriage, when you're working out your marriage, is don't use the word you or you always, because that becomes very inflicting upon the individual. You start to get very personal in those things. And especially when there's conflict, don't use those words, because you're going to just stir up stuff in people's hearts when you do that. My suggestion is that you need to use the words perspective, because it starts to take away the pressure and the pain of a harsh situation. It becomes softer. I've learned that in difficult situations, to bring perspectives to those things, because then it's not pointing finger at the other person. Because when you bring opinions, you start to point a finger at a person and it gets personal, and people, if they're not mature enough, you start to see fighting taking place. But also important, when these things start to take place and things are starting to be said, you've got to remember that not only is it the Lord and you and the other person, there's a devil there too that's trying to get in there, and he's whispering in your ear and trying to tell you things that is untruth. And it gets you to a place where, of course, you're not mature, is to take hold of that what's been said about you and actually get you offended. And my goodness, offense is big in the world. It's massive. It's massive in the church. It's massive in every family. And it's got to be dealt with. And if you allow offense to grab you, it's like when you're fishing and you put a bait out and the devil hooks you. That thing can derail your spiritual walk, can derail your relationships. And many people have taken offense because of conflict situations and never got back on track ever again. And it might have, I've heard of some people have taken offense and never want to deal with those people, even in families, and never see one another. It might be a lifetime they never get together. How many families have you heard about where there's an offense and they don't talk to one another, and for many, many years that they go on like that? That's not God's way. We've got to be careful that the devil, and we've got to be wise and don't allow the devil to do those things in our lives. You see, the devil wants to destroy, but God wants to bring life. And if you work through that offense layer and overcome that offense layer, you will take that relationship to the next level. You know, we spoke about the fighting that took place, Nikki and that, but that relationship went to another level. And even I have found when there's been conflict in relationships and we've had to deal things out and worked it out correctly, that relationship has gone deeper if there's been maturity in that relationship. So God works these things for the good. So what is the restoration process that we got to find in doing this? We got to find God's grace and God's love. We've got to do things right. And so often when from a worldly perspective, we get even, but it's the message of the cross. And I want to suggest is that always do things right. Ask God how to work the thing out right. You know, Christians shouldn't be going to court, according to me. We should be settling things outside court, and the scriptures tell us that. If it's a something that you're dealing with the world, it's a very different story. But if there's relational issues and you land up in court and it's in the life of the church, that is terrible. That it should never get to that. We need to walk these things out. And grace, the message of the of grace needs to be there. And you know, righteousness, God is always right. And his ways are always right. But we don't have to win every fight. Sometimes the winner is when you lose, because you take the road to bring unity and peace. And we don't always have to win a fight, because God works it out at the end. And you know, so often we've got to be justified and we've got to be the right one to sort the matter out. Doesn't always work like that. You know, if you look at the way Jesus actually walked, he never walked like that. He was a victim a lot of the times, but he was the victor at the end, because the Father justified him in this thing. So when conflicts arise, let's not win at all costs. Find God's way in that. And sometimes you got to lose to win. That's a hard lesson to do that. You know, especially when marital problems take place. You know, these are two people fighting in a corner and they got to win. And no. We got to get to a place where we find unity and find reconciliation. You know, we all got planks in our own eyes. All of us. Every one of us have got planks in our own eyes. And, you know, we've got to take those planks out of our own eyes first before we can actually find true reconciliation. The next point on the restoration process, humble yourself. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. And Ephesians 5, 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I say this with reverence to you. Sometimes the conflicts that are taking place in your life is not the other person's problem. It's actually you that's got the problem. And you try to justify yourself and you're not even examining yourself to say, am I the problem? And it's anal when someone says to you, the problem. And because you're full of pride and think, no, it's not me, it's you. And we get our heckles up and the flesh gets alive and we fight and we stand our ground. Instead of saying, okay, let me examine my heart. Am I wrong? Okay, I want to change. And that's where repentance is such a key thing. Repentance is actually seeing our errors and actually wanting to change and to be more like Christ. And when we humble ourselves in that context, you know, God works in a miraculous way. Something starts to place, your character starts to be changed, and God starts to work in your life in a dimension that you've never understood. Humility is a strength, it's not a weakness. It's a strength. Pride is a weakness that will destroy you. And as the Bible says, pride comes before the fall, and we know that the devil was kicked out of heaven because of pride. And we all have pride issues, every one of us. Every one of us, we think we don't have that thing, but that thing comes back quickly, especially when conflict comes around, and we got to examine our hearts to ensure that we humble ourselves. You see, humility is not a gift of God, it's something that we got to do. We humble ourselves before the Lord. We choose to put ourselves lower before God and humble ourselves and submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, and that's when we start to find God's way. You know, finding Christ in all these things is not easy. This is some of the toughest things that you'll ever do. Especially, I want to just say, in the work environment. You know, you're working with unbelievers, you're working with people that don't understand the ways of God. Now, you've got to be a light of Christ and you've got to show God's way in that. Now, Jesus dealt with the Sanhedrin and the religious leaders, and he dealt with the Romans. They were cruel people. And look how he carried himself. Yes, there were times that he spoke in righteousness, but a lot of the times, if you see his heart, he was walking in humility to bring God's grace into that situation. And then the next point is ask for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. We need wisdom in dealing with these things. Sometimes these things are very complex. They might seem simple on the surface, but they are complex. And you know, it's not wisdom, it's not common sense. It's actually wisdom from God to deal with these matters. It's got to be a download from heaven. And that takes time, people. It's not an instantaneous. It might sometimes God supernaturally just puts a thought in your heart and said, do it this way. But invariably what it takes time to wait. And sometimes in the heat of the things, you need to step away and hear God and then go back and deal with the matter. Conflict doesn't always have to be sorted out there and then. You can find a common ground to actually work it out and go back. And then number one is to get the heat out of the matter, that you don't react and you respond in the thing, but then to have God's wisdom and to hear what the Lord wants you to do in those things. And the way God deals with every situation is not the same as you dealt with one yesterday, because we're working with different personality types and doing these things. And you know, it's not about justification, it's what God wants to do. And you know, he might want you to be the doormat in that time. The next time you become the front, and you become the voice of God in that thing. And it's difficult. This is not easy stuff. If you want to learn Christ, it's a daily process. It's a daily occurrence. And I promise you, you'll even go out here today and there'll be an issue that you've got to deal with. And God wants to help us to represent him well. And then we need to communicate. And I've got three T's here when we start to communicate. The first one is timing. And there's a timing to communicate things to people. And we've got to find God's timing. Now is not always the right time. We've got to hear the Spirit of God when he says, now the time is to actually go and deal with the matter. And you know, God, you see, when you start to put it in God's hands, he starts to work in an incredible thing. He starts to work in that other person's heart and in the circumstance, and he says, now's the time. He prepares their hearts to deal with the matter. And timing in God is absolutely imperative. His timing is perfect. And sometimes that's why it's good to keep quiet and then respond when God has actually spoken to you at the right time. So sometimes it will be immediate, but invariably it's when the things are found peace that you can communicate on the right level. The next point of communication is tone, your voice and your body language. We all fail in this area. Our tonal voices is something that when you're communicating in a harshness, the tone comes through. And us men have a problem with that. That's why the Bible says, men, do not be harsh with your wives, because we find it easy to be harsh. And the ladies are gentle in doing these things. And that's why wives say to husbands, don't be so hard on me. And the reality, we're not trying, but it happens. We've got to learn to get our tones right. And I'm learning also that. And our body language, how we carry ourselves. I don't know, you've been in business and you see it, all these studies that have your body language communicates incredibly. You know, fold your arms and you're looking at the person. There are many ways that the body language gets across. You can see immediately how you're communicating. So if you want to communicate well, learn to do that. And then the third point is the temperature. Make sure you don't communicate it when things are heated, that you get the temperature down to a place where it's warm, not cold, but where it's warm. When it's cold, then you can't communicate at all, but when you get to a place where there's warmth, there's an openness in the thing. So be careful to get the thing. If you are heated, step away. Step away. Don't get caught up in it, because you're going to say things you're going to regret. And we've all been in that situation. We're going to say things we're going to regret. And sometimes the next point, we need a mediator. Philippians 4:3 says, I ask you, yoke fellow, help these women who contend at my side in the cause of the gospel. Sometimes mediation is needed when conflict arises. And it's happened in the church. Many times I've come and I've said to people, your situation is so dire, you cannot work it out between the two because you're not mature enough. not saying that to them, but that's the reality of the matter. Come, let's mediate. Take impartiality, we try and work the thing out. And honestly, it sometimes works. Now parents, sometimes if the kids are having a good barney, you be the mediator in the thing that they work their situation out. And in your workplace, mediation is a key process of sorting out conflict. We see that with trade unions. Why are you nodding your heads at me, kids? Hey? Because they're disagreeing with me. We'll sort it out later. But we need mediation in this process if it gets to such a complicated place. You know, can I say, when people get to a place, I don't know always the circumstances, especially when it comes to broken marriages, get mediation to help you in the things. And especially in the life of the church, get mediation to it. It works wonders, because all of a sudden the power of their hearts gets broken through someone that can work through the Holy Spirit and bring power to that. The next point is repent of your sins and turn to God. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 20. Now repent of your sins and turn to God, so your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come in the presence of the Lord, and He will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. I said earlier, sin is still an issue. A lot of times in conflict, sin is the root of the thing. Sin. And you know, we talk about heart issues, and the world teaches us all these other things, but as Christians, as followers of Christ, sin. We still have an ability, even though we are forgiven and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we have an ability to sin, every one of us. And sin can still begin the thing that can ensnare us in those things. It's an incredible, powerful outworking of darkness, sin, and it still destroys today, even in us who are believers. We can get our flesh in a place where it has authority and it can rule and reign and cause sin in our lives, and we need to sort that out. Now, how do we deal with that? It's still the only way to deal with sin is forgiveness. It's God's power to us to forgive. And there's some parties in it. It's the cross. We've got to ask God for forgiveness, number one. You know, yes, we need to have forgiveness with the others, but I'm telling you, you better ask God to forgive you. Because I said it's three parties in this thing. Go and ask Him to forgive you. And we've got to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Because unrighteousness comes in when sin comes in, and the blood of Jesus still got to work and got to cleanse us from that unrighteousness to get the peace of God in our hearts. And then go and ask others for forgiveness. Now this is where pride gets in the way. We don't want to go and ask others for forgiveness. No, I'm right. And I'm telling you now, you've got to humble yourself and go and do that. Because when you do that, that is when freedom comes. This, again, I say to you, this is not a win-win situation. Asking forgiveness, even when you are right, ask for forgiveness, because you bring God's grace and God's peace and reconciliation when you do that. Forgiveness is a very powerful tool that God has actually given us to deal with sin. And if you don't deal with it, sin will come and will cause a snare in those relationships, and it will continue to eat away. It's like gangrenous. It's contagious. It'll destroy not only your relationship, it'll destroy the relationships around you. And it'll just infest your life and bring absolute destruction. That's why Jesus came for sin, to deal with sin. And we have to be sharp when we see issues of sin and deal with those issues of sin and be quick to do that. And then also with that whole process to not only asking God for forgiveness and asking others for forgiveness, you need to forgive yourself. And that's where many people fall down. They do not forgive themselves. So when these situations also take place, there are consequences, even though God forgives. And I think about Oscar Pistorius. He asked God to forgive him, but there were consequences. And he landed up in jail, and I think he's still in jail today, and God's working that process for good. The next point is where I think a lot of people forget about this process when there's been conflict and there's been brokenness and there's been forgiveness, is the restitution process. The Bible talks about that, especially in the Old Testament, that there needs to be a repayment for what is wrong. And I love what happened in Rwanda. You know, they went through the genocide and there was nearly 1 million people murdered through that process. They needed to sort that thing out because the hearts were broken and a nation needed to be restored. And how they worked it out, they went down to the microcosm where the perpetrator and the victim were put together, and they spoke their heart issues out. And they worked a process of forgiveness where they had to get the emotion out of the whole thing. And once they got the emotion out of the thing, they could actually know the circumstances, what took place, and they could forgive one another. The victim had to forgive and the perpetrator had to forgive, and there was that reconciliation that took place. And Jesus was so evident in that thing. But you know, the magistrate came in and said, that's not good enough. We have forgiven one another, but now we need restitution. And I know of many cases where the woman's husband would be murdered, and this perpetrator had to come and do community service for a number of hours, and but had to build a new house for her. It's very different to building a house. You build it from the local materials, but that was the restitution. We still need that today. And you know, the most difficult place to work out restitution is in the place of divorce. Because there's children involved. And then parents come and say, no, I'm not paying maintenance. No, that's part of your restitution because of sin in that situation. And I'm not saying guilty or not guilty, but I'm saying there's got to be restitution. And I'm just saying, if you've been guilty in something and you've done something, and then work out the restitution, because it's God's way. It's restoration that we got to see, and it's lacking. It's so lacking in our society. The legal system is fraught. Someone steals, gets convicted, goes to jail, pays his 3 years, comes out, he's rich because he's put somewhere. I heard about a guy once, he stole all these jewels. He got convicted. He landed up spending 12 years in jail, but he had smuggled all the jewels, and he's got a massive deposit in Switzerland. He had the multi-million sitting in Switzerland. He used to go once a year to Switzerland to go and spend his illegal money. He never restored it. That's not God's way. There's got to be restitution in this process. So I come to summarize my perspectives of this thing. When these things take place, pray. Seek God's word for his promise and how he wants to deal with you. Don't harden your heart. Don't be stubborn in that. You may be the guilty party. Let God lead you. Seek forgiveness. Do not fall into the trap of Satan. Don't let your heart get hard. Don't get bitter. Don't let rejection work through your heart. Make sure the fiery darts of the devil are quenched. And then learn to forgive. And as we've been spoken, the chains will fall off you. The bondages that have come off you will fall off you. Guard your heart in this process. It's the wellspring of life. Because if you allow your heart to be tempted, you'll be destroyed. Ask God for wisdom. Seek the way of love. Always work out love. It's God's way. Speak the words of faith and be thankful in all circumstances and give God the glory through this. Very important, because God must be glorified in this. And then communicate. Communicate is such a key thing, and I've got quickly 5 points to finish up. What is communicate? Communicate well. And I've got this thing, you know, these cars that are driving around at the moment, they're called SUVs, sports utility vehicles. I've got another acronym, substantiate, understand, and validate. So when you're listening, substantiate in your heart what has actually been said. So that when you substantiate it, then you can truly understand and then validate it. So like Nikki was communicating with me, so she will say that we're going to go and have a meal today with the grandparents. And I'll say, did I hear you correctly? We are going to have a meal today. Are we going today at 1 o'clock for the meal? Yes. I've substantiated, I've understood it, and I've validated by speaking it back to her. That process will destroy a lot of miscommunication. We are so busy that we don't have time to able to do that. So communicate well, listen well, speak well. Be careful with the words that you actually speak. Your words have power. They can bring destruction. We're all guilty of saying the wrong things. But let's be wise. Let's ask God to put a guard over our mouths and how we speak to one another. Let's love one another. And let's not just live, but let's be wise and be noble in the way we work with. The second in communication is contentious issues. You need to communicate through contentious issues, but just hear my heart in this thing. Be careful when contentious issues arise that you do it face to face. Get to meet with the person and have eye contact, even in mediation process. Do not get your pen and paper out and write that email or write that letter. You're going to get into trouble. You're going to get into trouble because you're going to put things in paper that you cannot communicate well. Paper doesn't communicate always your heart. Be careful. I've seen it in the life of the church. I've seen it in the life of business. And you know, the world is just going to communicating by email. The old way was pick up the phone and talk. My good friend here, Norman, says, I don't SMS, I get up and I phone him. He's learned some wisdom. Because you communicate heart and you can communicate better through actually contact. So a phone call is also good, but you know, you might be working for a foreign operative. I just think for Trevor, phone the guy and tell him this is what's on my heart. Because you put it to paper, they stew over that thing, they read into the words that are not there, and you get into trouble. And don't, you know, if contentious issues happen in the life of this church, please don't send me an email. Come and talk. Because I think that's the way we work things out. We are all open. The leaders are all open to talk the things through. And we hear your perspective. You hear my perspective. Again, there's two stories. And then it's the Lord's perspective in those processes. And we work our things out. You see, agreement, disagreements will occur in the life of this church. But we're going to work them out. We're going to be wise to work these things out and go forward. And then the consequences. There are consequences. I can't protect you from the consequences of those conflict situations, but God can. And then sometimes in the communication, in this conflict, you're going to need counseling. It gets so complicated, is that there are things in your past, and we've got a wonderful gift of Jenny Pretorius with us that helps us with our counseling. If you've got serious issues that you cannot deal with, please come and talk to the elders, and we'll put you through Jenny. Jenny can help you, and God has used her with a profound gift to set many people free. And then my last point in coming to this in communication is called communion. One of the healing things that has taken place in our marriage is that when we break bread together, because there are differences that actually occur, but when we come to the communion table, we've got to deal with our hearts. And I'm telling you, the Bible says, examine your heart before you come to the Lord's table. Why? Because God wants reconciliation and he wants peace. That is a wonderful way, because you're doing it with the Lord. He did it on the cross for us. We go before him, it humbles us. And I'm telling you, it's been wonderful when we've done it that way. Come to the Lord, we break bread together. And I'm not saying only just being spouses, I'm saying with families, the church. We need to do that. I think it's God's way. It's an incredible gift that God has actually given to us to actually break bread, to sort differences out. Can you believe it? He takes us to his table and says, no, let's sort it out. And we move away from there, restored, healed, reconciled. God's way. Amen. Well, may you have wisdom as you go forward in the Lord. Don't land up on the rubbish dump and not deal with conflict. Deal with those issues. And may you learn Christ through this. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I know this has been a bit longer than I expected, but Lord, will you take us and may we deal with conflict. May we work these things out and may we represent you well. And may the power of God be upon us as we work these things out with such wisdom that comes from heaven. And may this church have an anointing, Lord, to deal with matters, not just internally, but externally. And may we be the light of the world in our business situations, where we find ourselves in our workplaces, Lord, because we know how to deal with conflict from a godly perspective. Give us wisdom, Lord. Give us wisdom. Lead us, Holy Spirit, that we may be true reconcilers, that we will carry this message of reconciliation of the cross, that sin will not get in the way, that truly that your love and your grace may be manifest in this world in and through us now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Just want to add to that prophecy. Through that door, people are coming here with scars, are coming with tattoos and broken lives. This message is going to help you to deal with them, to bring them through. We are not receiving people that are boxed and kind and gentle. They come in with the world. We've got to love them. We're going to bring them through. And they're going to be different. And you mustn't say, oh, they're that, they're this. No, no, no. We're going to love them. And we're going to bring them through. Amen. Whatever color they are, we're going to bring them, we're going to love them, we're going to show them Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. Happy Father's Day. If you want some coffee, it's at the top. God bless you all. Amen. Thank you.